Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett coming to you on the Wednesday broadcast. Hope you're doing really good this week. This is hump day, and you made it halfway through the week, so congratulations. Well, we're doing an exciting series, a new series on the book of Proverbs. And I love the book of Proverbs because I've discovered that every single one of us need wisdom. And worry in our lives weigh us down, but an encouraging word of wisdom can cheer us up. As a matter of fact, that is a proverb found in Proverbs 12:25. And as we think about this matter of wisdom, why do I need wisdom? I need wisdom because I am living in very unusual days, and I need to be able to see things from God's perspective. Now, we look at the book of Proverbs, you may ask, well, why is the book of Proverbs so important? Well, Proverbs accomplishes many things that no other book in the Bible does. It complies to giving us numerous, like, short story instructions. It gives us instructions how to live an effective life. And as you look at this particular book of Proverbs, it has got a lot of theological truths in it as well. There's really no lengthy, like, narratives found in the book of Proverbs. Maybe that's why I like it, because they're short, pithy sayings. They're not technically promises, but they're always giving us a contrast. And the book of Proverbs itself is completely full of instructing people in this path of wisdom. And so the writer recognizes there's various circumstances within a person's life. And throughout these various circumstances that we encounter, we discover that we need wisdom on how to navigate through these difficult times in our lives. Proverbs 4:7 says this, "Get wisdom." Getting wisdom is the most important thing that you can do. Whatever else you get insight. Love wisdom, and she will make you great. So let's spend a few minutes today talking about wisdom, talking about the book of Proverbs. Now, what is wisdom? Let's begin by defining that. Wisdom is simply this. It is seeing and responding to life from God's perspective. Proverbs 14:12 says this, "There is a way that seems right to man, but the end leads to death." So the way that we might think is right may not be right. And so we have these books of wisdom. James is one of them. Proverbs is one of them. And as we look at this, I want to encourage you to look at your life not from your perspective. I mean, that's what comes naturally for us. I want you to look at it from God's perspective. And that's what comes supernaturally, okay? So let's talk about what the book of Proverbs is all about. What will it do for me? How will it help me? Proverbs chapter 3 says this, "Wisdom is more valuable than precious jewels. Nothing you could want can compare with it. Wisdom offers you long life and wealth and honor. It can make you a pleasant person. It can lead to your safety. Those who become wise are happy." So here we see there are 6 benefits to being a person of wisdom. Let's go through these benefits. Number one is that you have a long life. I read an insurance report one time that said that people who join a church and attend every week live on average 6.7 years longer than the rest of the population. Now, isn't that amazing? We have a lady in our church, and she just turned 86 years old. She has lived a blessed life, a full life. She still drives. She still comes to our small group every Tuesday night. She is so faithful and blessed with a long life. I remember a year ago when we celebrated her 85th birthday, she says, "I have a prayer request." And I said, "What is that prayer request?" She said, "Would you pray the prayer of Hezekiah?" Hezekiah prayed that God give him an extra 15 years, and sure enough, God did. And so we are praying this prayer for this dear saint. And she's got one down, 14 more to go. And so we are so excited about the fact that wisdom gives long life. But secondly, wisdom also gives prosperity. In some cases, wealth. How would you like to have God as your financial planner, your financial advisor? Well, we're going to look at these foundations of financial freedom as we go through the book of Proverbs, but there is a benefit to looking at God's word from a matter of long life and a matter of prosperity. But also, number three, it gives honor. How does wisdom bring honor? You don't put your foot in your mouth as often. That's how it brings honor. You know, as you know, the right thing in the right situation, knowing the right thing to say and the right thing to respond. Proverbs 8 says this, "Now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways, Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorpost. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. You know, a successful businessman was growing older, and he knew it was time for him to choose a successor to take over his business. Instead of choosing one of his directors or his children, he decided to do something very different. He called all of the young executives of the company and brought them all together. He said, "It is time for me to step down and choose the next CEO. I've decided to choose one of you." The young executives, they were shocked, but the boss continued, "I'm going to give each one of you a seed today. This is one very special seed. I want you to plant that seed. I want you to water it. And I want you to come back here in 1 year from today, and I'm going to look at what you have grown from that seed that I'm giving you today. I will then make a judgment call in the plants that you bring to me, and I will choose my next CEO based on how you handle this seed." One man named Jim was there that day, and he, like the others, received the seed, and he goes home, and he's all excited about it, and he tells his wife this story. And so they get a pot, and they get some soil, and then they put some compost in there, and he plants the seed. And every day he begins to water it, and he begins to watch it to see if it's growing. After about 3 weeks, some of the other executives began to talk about their seeds and the plants that were growing and beginning to grow, and Jim just kept checking his seed, but nothing was growing. 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks went by, but still nothing. By now, others were talking about their plants, but Jim was just there hoping to see something, discovering that nothing was growing in his pot. 6 months goes by and still nothing is growing. Jim knew he had just killed that seed. Everyone else there had trees and tall plants, but he had nothing. Now, Jim didn't say anything to his colleagues. However, he just kept watering, kept fertilizing the soil, and he waited to see that seed grow. A year finally went by, and all of the young executives came to the company and brought their plants to the CEO for inspection. Jim told his wife that he wasn't going to take an empty pot, but she asked him to be honest about what happened. Jim felt so sick to his stomach. It was going to be the most embarrassing moment in his life, but he knew his wife was right. He took that empty pot with the soil to the boardroom. When Jim arrived, he was amazed at the variety of the plants that had grown by the other executives. They were all beautiful, all in different sizes and all different shapes. Jim put his empty pot on the floor, and many of his colleagues began to laugh. He felt sorry. When the CEO arrived, he surveyed the room and greeted the young executives. Jim just tried to hide in the back. "My, what great plants we have," the CEO said. "I see beautiful trees and flowers that you have grown. Today, one of you is going to be the next appointed CEO." All of a sudden, the CEO spotted Jim in the back of the room with his empty pot. He ordered the financial director to bring him to the front. Jim was terrified. He thought, for sure, this CEO knows that I'm a failure, and today will probably be my last day. He's going to fire me. When Jim got to the front, the CEO asked him what had happened to his seed. Jim told him the story. The CEO asked everyone to sit down except for Jim. He looked at Jim, and then he announced to the young executives, "Behold, your next chief executive officer. His name is Jim." Jim couldn't believe it. Jim couldn't even grow his seed. How could he be the new CEO? The others asked. Then the CEO said, "1 year ago today, I gave everyone in this room a seed. I told you to take the seed and to plant it and to water it and to bring it back to me today. But I gave you all boiled seeds. They were dead. It was not possible for them to grow. All of you except Jim have brought me trees and plants and flowers. When you found that that seed would not grow, you substituted it with another seed for the one I gave you. Jim was the only one with the courage and the honesty to bring me a pot with a seed in it. Therefore, he is the one who is going to be the new chief executive officer." Here's something that I want you to know from this illustration. If you will plant honesty in your life, you will reap a harvest of trust. If you will plant goodness in your life, you will reap friends. If you will plant humility in your life, you will reap greatness. If you will plant perseverance in your life, you will reap contentment. If you will plant consideration in your life, you will reap perspective. If you will plant hard work in your life, you will reap success. If you will plant forgiveness in your life, you will reap reconciliation. So be careful what you plant. It will determine what you will reap later. You know, as we think about the benefit of wisdom, wisdom brings a long life, a prosperous life, a life of honor, and a life of peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, God will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. You see, our world seems to have lost all sense of peace. There is this unsettled feeling across the land, but there is a group of people of whom seem to be immune to all of its surroundings. It is the wise believer who trusts the Lord and the one who is able to keep his mind steadfast on him. You see, you have peace if you're a person of wisdom, but you also feel safe and you feel secure. Proverbs 28:26 says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. Wise people still encounter trouble, but like a cat that falls and always lands on his feet, so is the wise person, always safe and secure. I remember as a kid, one of the songs that we used to sing in our church was the song called Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. I didn't know the history of that song, but it really blessed me. So I looked at this song and I discovered that Anthony Showalter was the author of this song. He was leading a singing school in Alabama in 1887. When he returned to his boarding house room one night, two letters awaited him. Both were from former students, and both men told the story of their lives. Both told of a recent loss of having their wives passed. Mr. Showalter wrote back, seeking to comfort the young men in the midst of their grief. But what was he to write to these men? When he came to the end of each letter that he read, he wanted to include a Bible verse, and so he picked out Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and under his arms are his everlasting love. He pondered the words of that great verse, and he penned them into the letters. And the lyrics became the lyrics to the song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. He wrote to his friend asking him to put music to the words, and here are the words to that hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. And then the chorus goes like this, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. And then I love verse number 2. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path that grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. And then the last verse says this, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, my friends, there is so much benefit from the wisdom of God as you are leaning on the everlasting arms of God. The last benefit would be happiness. You see, the more wisdom I have, the happier I will be. You say, why? Because wisdom teaches me to make choices based upon what produces the most long-lasting happiness. Not the immediate happiness, but the most long-lasting happiness. We say, well, how can I get this wisdom? I've seen the benefits of being a wise person, but how do I get this wisdom? Well, first of all, you must read and study God's word. Proverbs 1, verse number 2 says, and Solomon is writing this, and he wrote these proverbs to teach his people how to live and how to act in every single circumstance. Proverbs 1:3 says that they teach you how to live intelligently. You see, you'll get more insight on your life, and you're going to get it from two places. You're either going to get it from the word, or you're going to get it from the world. I want you to know that if you get it from the word, you're going to be knowing how to act in every circumstance. Now, how many of you believe everything that you watch on television? How many of you believe everything that you read in the newspaper or on the radio? How about the Bible? Why do we spend more time listening to and reading what we don't believe than reading what we do believe? It just doesn't make sense. When you are reading God's Word, that is the owner's manual for your life. So when in doubt, read the instruction. It helps a lot. If you want to be wise, you've got to get into the book. Well, here's the second way that we get wisdom. Not only do we read and study God's Word, but number two, we apply it and we reapply it. We're told in Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, that we're to never forget what I tell you. Do what I say and you will live. Be careful to follow it. Now, let's say you are going to go on an airplane and the flight happens to take you over the Arctic cap. Let's say that as you're going over the Arctic cap circle, the plane crashes, but miraculously, you survive. Right before it crashes, the stewardess passes out to you everything that you need to know in a little book on how to survive in a snowstorm. So you're there at the Arctic Circle with you and your book and how to survive this Arctic Circle. You could read the book over and over again until you froze to death, or you could do what it says. Why do people make foolish financial decisions? Why do people walk into the marriages that are doomed from the start? Why do people start habits that they know eventually are going to kill them? Why do people put more in their schedule than they can possibly handle? Why do we buy things that we don't need with money that we don't have to impress people that we don't even like? Why do people have an affair and think it won't matter? Why do people fail to prepare for death when they know it's inevitable? Why do people procrastinate accepting Christ when he offers them tremendous benefits and they know it? The answer is lack of wisdom. We don't look at our lives from the perspective of God's Word. We don't live according to God's Word. So if you're going to be a wise person, you must study and read the Word. You must live and obey the Word. Number three, you must respect and trust the author. Proverbs 1:7 says, well, how does a person become wise? The first step is to trust and revere the Lord. Proverbs 9:10 says, for the reverence and the fear of the Lord are basic to all wisdom. Knowing God results in every other kind of understanding. As a matter of fact, the same guy who wrote Proverbs 9:10 also wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes these words, beginning the book of Ecclesiastes. Meaningless, meaningless, or vanity of vanity, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and he searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and then he wrote what is upright and what is true. You see, Solomon looked at life and he begins the book of Ecclesiastes by saying, all is vanity. But then he concludes the book of Ecclesiastes with these encouraging words. You see, most of the book contained Solomon's observation as he devoted himself to the Word. He discovered that life was meaningless, everything was meaningless. But then he concluded the matter and said this, now all that has been heard, and here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it's good or evil. Now, isn't this amazing? Solomon wraps up what life is all about. He says, I've tried a whole lot of things and they were all meaningless. They were all brought about hopelessness. They were all vain. He tried women. He tried wine. He tried wealth. He tried work. All of these things brought meaningless to his life until he discovered that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him. What a blessing that is to know the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. That is the whole duty of man. He is actually saying this is the whole of man. That word duty is added by the translators. He says the whole of man is to follow God, fear him, and keep his commandments. That is where we find peace. That is where we find fulfillment. Solomon concludes this book with an overriding reason for following. And his last piece of advice is this. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. You see, after we die, we will be judged. There is no way around this. Man is destined to die. And after that, he faces the judgment we learn from Hebrews 9:27. We will be judged by God through Jesus Christ. Knowing this, it makes sense that we should fear God and keep his commandments. Then he goes on by saying that we're to know God, and the results of knowing God is that we will keep understanding what he is doing in our lives. As we look at this book of Proverbs, I want to encourage you to make wisdom the lifelong goal of your life. Make it the part of your life that you live for, to gain wisdom, to buy up wisdom, and to use that to live a life of meaning and a life of purpose. Well, maybe you're listening to the broadcast today and you're saying, well, I feel weighed down. The weight of the world is pushing out any kind of wisdom that I may receive from God. Well, I want to encourage you what it says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Worry may weigh down a person, but an encouraging word cheers him up. You know, the beloved disciple John summarized the Bible's promise to fear not by saying this, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." There's another example of where David brings so much encouragement in Psalm 56. And as I look at Psalm 56, I'm reminded that David was being seized by the Philistines. And the Philistines have come in, and they have taken over the village when the men were out fighting. The men come home and discover that the Philistines have ransacked their homes, have taken their children, have taken their wives, and David is distraught. But instead of looking at the vision of how bad things were, David sets out and puts his vision on the Lord. Although his men were coming against him, as a matter of fact, they wanted to kill David for leading them in a battle and leaving their homes unguarded. But David praises God, and he says that he's not going to fear because he puts his trust in the Lord. David put it this way in Psalm 56, "When I am afraid, I trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" He repeats this over and over throughout the book of Psalms. And then he gives a prayer to soothe that anxious, worried heart. As a matter of fact, I've kind of paraphrased this prayer and want to use this prayer to kind of wrap up our broadcast today, talking about the matter that we can have wisdom that will drive out fear. We can have prayer that will cast out anxiety. Here's a prayer to soothe an anxious or a worried heart. "Dear Lord, I thank you that I can come to you. You always are there for me for any reason. I am grateful that when I pray to you, you answer me. Help me to come to you at the beginning of my fears and at the beginning of my anxieties, instead of waiting until I can't stand them anymore. The quicker I come to you, the better. You want me to be free from all of my fears. Help me to look to you for help. Help me to trust you so that I can experience your joy and your radiance. In Jesus' name I pray, amen." Well, I want to encourage you, my friends, as we look at the end of this broadcast and as we look at opportunities that God has placed before us, I think that we find strength as we are together with one another. And I know it's been very difficult with this coronavirus to be connected with one another, but I want to encourage you, go to church on Sunday. Get involved in a church. Don't just date the church. Don't just attend the church. Actually become a member of the church. And if you don't have a church home, we would love to welcome you at Hickory Ridge Community Church. We meet at 9 o'clock and 10:30 every Sunday, and we have opportunities for you to be involved through small group ministry. We have our men's ministry that meets every second Saturday of the month. We'd love to have you come be part of our church. If you come at 9 o'clock, that'd be our drive-in service. If you come at 10:30, that's our in-house worship service. We would love to have you come and be part of what God is doing at Hickory Ridge Community Church. What I hope you experience as you come to worship with us, as you walk into the double glass doors, it says, "Welcome home." I don't know about you, but at the end of the day, I love going home. As I pull into my driveway, it seems like the stress and the anxiety just kind of falls off because I know I'm finally home. You know, home is a place of rest. Home is a place where you can rejuvenate. Home is a place where you get food, right? I spend a lot of time eating at my house and fellowshipping with my kids and hanging out with my family. I love being at home because it's a place of rest. It's a place where I can just be myself, not trying to impress anybody. I can just be me. You know, the church ought to be the same way. It ought to be a place where you feel secure, that you feel safe. As you come to church, you realize that this is really not a showcase for the saints. This is really a hospital for the sinners. We're all healing up and resting up. So I'd invite you to come worship with us this Sunday, Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South, Chesapeake, Virginia. We'll make you feel right at home. I hope to see you this weekend. God bless you, and thanks for listening to the broadcast today.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.